a bite-sized chunk of your favourite show, the Tom, Lingy and Loggy podcast.
So I told you that you were going to be talking about a story about a beach, but oh no, mate, it's one of these instead.
Oh, come on now. Do I have to?
Yes. And it's going to...
Are you
sure? And that means you have to find the button.
K-Rock. Now with Tom, Lingy and Loggy. It's a story without notice.
So what happens is that I give you a story and I just send you the link. You have to open it up and tell us that story. Normally it's a story that can't be told on radio.
And we have to make it PG. That's the game. That's the game. So strap yourselves in, guys.
Turn a phrase there.
Yes. Seems appropriate for this story.
It might be.
Okay. I'm going to skip the headline.
No. Right. Do the headline.
Ooh, ah.
No, I don't think it's like that. I think it's, ooh, ah.
Okay, well, you should have done the headline. No. Doctors remove 18-inch vegetable from farmer's rear after he complained of stomach pains. Well, that's the whole story. That's why I was going to skip it, because that's the whole story.
Oh, sorry. I just wanted you to do the ooh, ah.
Shocked medics have had to perform surgery on a farmer after discovering an 18-inch long vegetable stuck in his backside.
Now, 18 inches. Mm. You're good at measurements. For, like, how would you explain that? Like,
so hang on.
Like a laptop size.
So that's, if that's 1 inch,
one,
18 of them.
2, 3. Maybe like the size of a laptop. Just say a bit bigger. Like, laptop and mouse.
Maybe like a... Not the cord of a mouse, God.
A keyboard, almost. Yeah. Size of a keyboard.
Sort of like a 30-centimetre ruler, I'd say.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah. About that?
Yeah. No, I need you to say the items. Anyway, that's good.
60-year-old patient in India called an ambulance to his farm on Sunday after suffering from severe stomach pain. It's a bit of a sore tummy.
What could it be?
God, I don't know. Well, we better get you to hospital. You sure you don't have any idea what could be causing it? No, sorry. There's nothing springs to mind.
I know that this is so stupid as well. I'm so sorry.
Yeah. Once in hospital, doctors were astonished when an X-ray revealed the cause of the unnamed man's discomfort. A giant vegetable had been rammed through his... Can I say it? Rectum? I said it. There we go. And become stuck in his cavity. It was pressing into his abdomen, causing severe pain. Wow.
Now, you missed the name of what that giant vegetable is called.
Well, I thought we could just speculate as to what kind of
vegetable. No, but it says a giant vegetable, a...
Bottle gourd.
A bottle gourd.
Yeah, or a lauki.
Mm.
It looks like... A really sort of like if it looks like if a cucumber had a baby with a pumpkin. That's it. Yeah. it's a pumpkin crossed with a cucumber. A cumpkin. Pubecumber. No, also not good. Hey, mate, it's a story without notice. Oh, I don't know where this is going.
Are we allowed to say any of that?
The hospital. Do you know who's not going to go us? The Olympic Bloody Committee.
We haven't mentioned Olympics in this once.
That's the only thing we have to worry about. Yeah. Everything else is fair game.
Okay.
Anyway, the hospital has initiated an inquiry to determine the exact circumstances surrounding the incident. I reckon he probably stuck it in his butt. No, they just want to know how. It's massive. Anyway.
Oh, they've got a photo of it there too. And look at that. They've got the surgeons smiling whilst he's on the operating table.
It's like they've delivered a baby. It's like they're delivering
Seriously,
a baby.
Seriously, they're like, very happy with themselves.
What a happy moment.
Yeah.
Oh, anyway.
Baby gourd or whatever it was called.
Oh, geez.
What?
Yeah, no, his bloody large intestine burst. It was all pretty nasty.
Oh, you have to finish on that.
Oh, mate, this is a story without notice. Like I said, I don't know where it's going.
Yeah.
I know where it came
from.
Anyway,
he's recovering well.
Yeah, good on him. Stay away from those veggies.
Tom, Lingy and Loggy. Listen live weekdays at 6 a.m. on K-Rock 955 or online at krock.com.au.
Fun fact. Doing this twice in 1 week because we didn't do it last Friday, so I did it on Monday. So you're getting sort of bookended fun Facts. Gotta be so careful. Engage brain and then mouth.
Yes.
Yeah. Because I almost said, you're getting...
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Do you know what I mean?
No, I didn't get that. Can you explain the joke?
No. Not on air.
Here's some book-ended facts.
Yes.
To bring some fun into your life. But first we need the spiel.
Every Friday morning we like to send you off to work with some fun and interesting facts you can use to impress your workmates, who aren't your real mates, but it is important they think you're smart, because then when an opportunity comes up in the workplace, for example, a pay rise or a promotion, they'll say, hey, give it to Gary or Karen. They're obviously very smart, obviously very good at their job. They're always full of fun and interesting facts.
I'm sorry I said, when you...
It wasn't as bad as you made it.
No, I know, so. But I just like stick it in.
Yeah, that's all right.
Once again, you engage brain, then mouth.
Sharks can get suntans. Did you know that?
Oh,
yeah, it's a little bit of fun, isn't it? I mean, not fun if they get too much of a tan.
Yeah. Oh, so those Malibu sharks would be all like, check me out.
Yeah, and then the ones down sort of near the Antarctic or whatever, they'd be like, oh, I'm so pale. In Australia, commercial bakers can be jailed for up to a year for adding chocolate chips or sultanas to Anzac biscuits.
What?
The recipe of Anzac biscuits is sacrosanct. It's protected.
Seriously?
Yeah. If you make Anzac biscuits and sell them with choc chips or sultanas, you can be prosecuted. Oh, my goodness. Prosecuted and you can serve, jail time. So.
Wowee.
Interesting.
That is interesting.
Did you know that playing music to cheese as it matures can alter the flavour?
Well, Tom, I have got a whole bunch of cheese at home and I plan to do that. I just can't get over the leaving it.
Well, it's never going to last long enough in your fridge.
But it sounds good because you do that with plants too.
Yeah, right. So classical music makes for a milder cheese.
Oh.
But hip-hop gives it a stronger, funkier taste.
Funkier, all right.
Yeah, come on. That seems like...
That's choose another adjective. Yeah.
Connotations. The backfire effect is... effect is the phenomenon whereby someone believes even more strongly in their mistaken belief after being shown evidence that they're wrong. And that barely ever happens on this show.
I wouldn't suggest that to anything that happens around me.
Doubling down on everything.
The backfire effect.
Elton John's full legal name, Elton Hercules John. Hercules.
Beautiful.
Elton refers to musician Elton Dean, John to singer Long John Baldry, and Hercules to Hercules the horse from Steptoe and Son.
Aw.
There you go. Bit of horse gear this morning on the show.
Yeah.
The National Poo Museum on the Isle of Wight has an interactive display where you can polish a turd. Might be helpful for this show.
We do it every day.
And let's wrap it up this morning, Fun Fact Friday style, with this one. Golf balls didn't have dimples until the early 1900s, when it was discovered that dimpled balls can be hit twice as far. And what I will say.
No, just what for I once will, in your life.
What I will say.
For once in your life.
Is that dimples or no?
Just.
All balls are good. All balls. A beautiful.
Thank you for bookending that for us.
With dimples or not. Monday you can fall apart. Tuesday, Wednesday, break my heart. Oh, Thursday doesn't even start. It's fun fact. Friday, I'm in
love. Tom, Lingy and Loggy. Listen live weekdays at 6 a.m. on K-Rock 955 or online at krock.com.au.
Log, there is a epidemic of gender-based violence in Australia. I think we can all acknowledge that.
Mm-hmm.
And there's been a lot of conversation, particularly around it this year, which is great that there is a light being shone on it. But people are fed up, particularly women, have had enough.
Yes.
And that has led to some really big rallies and protests a few months ago around the country. And there's another one coming up this weekend.
Yeah, it's the What Were You Wearing rallies, and we've got Alan Marnie on the phone now, one of the volunteers, and she'll be speaking at the Geelong rally as well. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Yeah, we're okay, thanks. Look, really sort of a bit disappointed that any of this has to happen, but really also quite fed up and right on board with the sentiments that will be shared by all in attendance on Sunday.
Same team, absolutely. We're so glad that we've got this opportunity to kind of brute, I guess, our rallies this weekend, because we would love as many people in attendance as possible. We're going to be rallying down Market Square Mall at 11 a.m. this Sunday.
Right.
And this is by survivors for survivors, and sort of community coming together and saying we are over sexual violence, violence against women in all forms. And it's also about awareness and education. What were you wearing? For people that don't know, is a statement that girls, women have gotten a lot, and people in general, really, who are survivors, because it's sort of implying that what you were wearing, you know, it's victim-blaming statement. How does that actual phrase itself sit for you? What were you wearing?
I mean, it reinforces a culture of victim blaming when you ask questions like, what were you wearing? I mean, as part of these rallies, what were you wearing? Our organisation, what we're pushing for is two national demands that are mandatory trauma-informed training for first responders across Australia, and funding for grassroots organisations in domestic, family and sexual violence sectors, which includes men's behaviour change programs and women's refuges. Because we can't also leave men out of this conversation, because it's gotten to a point where it's so bad, and women, you know, feel like we're screaming into a void almost. I mean, women are dying at such an alarming rate, and we genuinely need men to come on board and be part of this conversation and be active voices in changing the rhetoric around this victim-blaming mentality that we have towards domestic violence, sexual assault victims, etc.
Ellen, I'm a father of two young daughters. I'm petrified. And so, of course, I will raise them to protect themselves as best they can. But I think the message sort of needs to be to parents of boys and stuff to raise adults, the men that won't hurt women.
Yeah, absolutely. It's not just on us to like protect our daughters. It really is on us as a society to educate our sons. And we're seeing alarming rates of misogynistic rhetoric increasing in primary school or that early teenage consumption on TikTok and all that. So it is on parents and teachers and anyone, really. It's on society to kind of change this rhetoric that young children grow up in. I mean, for me personally, my story involves family cycles of violence. So it's not just my current family that I'm living in. It's my father's family, my grandmother's family, you know, and these cycles just continue to repeat through our family when you stand back and look at it. And that's the thing, that society has just enabled that to happen for generations and generations of families.
We're talking obviously about the rally in Melbourne tomorrow and then in Geelong on Sunday, and we want to get people out there. But do you have any advice as someone who has been through that relationship-based violence and a situation where you felt maybe like you couldn't get out for a while? Do you have any advice for people who maybe have suspicions that someone in their life is experiencing this and they don't know sort of how to broach it with them?
Give them a safe space and a supportive space to come to you. Just let them know that, you know, this is a safe space. There's no judgment. You can say anything to me and I'm going to be here for you. Don't try to coax it out of them. They'll come to you when they're ready. Mm. But as long as you're offering a safe space with no judgment, that makes it so much more easier for someone in that scenario to find you.
With the marches, you're obviously inviting women to come down, but also men that want to be the change as well. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think we're encouraging, I mean, we will have some content warnings, but we're encouraging women to bring their children if they're, you know, of a suitable age as well. I mean, this is a great learning point for everybody. So, yeah, we'd really like everybody, women, children, men, anyone who feels some sort of way about this, now's the time to turn up.
Love that statement. We're going to leave you there, Ellen Marnie. Thank you so much. You'll be speaking at the What Were You Wearing rally this upcoming Sunday in Geelong. Tomorrow there's a rally in Melbourne. For more details, whatwereyouwearingoz.org. Thank you so, so much for opening up and for your time.
Thank you so much, guys. We really appreciate this.
The Tom, Lingy and Loggy podcast.
Okay, so yesterday this week I've sort of been prodding the beast, if you will, poking the bear.
Yes.
The former cat, Cameron Ling, because he always is like, oh, yeah, nah, after the show I'm just going to go for a bit of a run. And he's been talking up the fact that he wants to do the Melbourne Mara.
Yeah.
And we both unanimously and sort of separately said that's not a good idea.
Don't do it.
We don't think you can do it.
No.
Because we've never actually seen him run.
No, unless it's been recorded 10 years ago, you know?
Yeah.
Unless it's been in an official capacity, I've never seen him run in his home life as Cameron Ling.
He doesn't even walk into the studio of a morning. Mm. He's on those things where you've got the four guys in the G-strings on the carrying the poles on their shoulder, and it's a chair, and he gets carried in sort of like some sort of Egyptian pharaoh. Anyway, he does think he runs, and who am I to judge? Well,
I'm Tom Lewis, goddammit.
I am Tom Lewis, goddammit. And so I said, mate, if you are going to claim you've got this amazing cardio ability and this endurance, then would you take me on to prove it?
Because you are very well known for talking about your endurance and the state of your body at the moment.
Oh, animale.
You're at what?
Animale.
I don't understand what that means.
I'm an animal.
Oh.
Rawr.
Oh, my God. Okay. Sometimes I'm trying to be on your side. I'm trying. You go to the gym and you're all about it.
I don't do cardio, but that's fine. I still think I can take him, although he does have longer legs than I.
See, you can't do that. You are so competitive and you've already set up a little caveat just in case you lose. You can be like, no, it's got to do with leg length. No, mate, if you're going to go him, you have to go him and there's no caveats.
Have you heard the ads for Hot Temple that we've been running?
Hot Temple.
It's a revolutionary infrared heat training new gym. It's the only gym of its kind in Australia. It's coming to Torquay.
Okay.
It's opening next week.
So you're going to, mate, can you just give them a week? Can you give them a couple of months before you just yourself down their throat?
Go in there. Look, I mean, surely it won't cost them that much to replace a couple of bike seats, because that's what we're going to do. So what they do is they do all like classes, but they're all in an infrared heated studio, right?
Oh my God.
So 38 degrees.
So you can get the rig out. Oh my God, of course you're going to get
like
the rig out.
It's like a sauna meets a workout.
Okay.
Okay.
So you want to be nude with Cameron Ling riding
a bike? No, we've already done that. We got a massage together. Yeah. It's fine. So what we're going to do, I mean, they do hot ride, hot strength, hot Pilates, hot fitness. I said hot ride. And they were like, 5Ks, do a 5K race. And I was like, are you kidding me? That's way too far.
Yeah.
So 3Ks.
You're going to race Lingy 3Ks on a hot bike.
That's right.
Okay. With your top off or on?
No promises, mate.
Does he know about this yet?
No. So what I'm going to do right now is give Cameron Ling 30 seconds. 30 seconds to give us a call and say he doesn't want to do it.
Well, you know what? It is fair because technically, even though it's his RDO, he is rostered on in a 9-to-5, you know, Monday to Friday capacity.
So 30 seconds on the clock. Cameron Ling, if you would like to call us 52232955, if you're not prepared to join me next week at Hot Temple for a 3K race in the Hot Ride studio on exercise bikes, I assume. I assume we don't have to ride actual bikes. I did not check that.
Hang on. Just let him have some time.
Okay. 4...
No.
3.
No.
2. 1. That's been 30 seconds, mate.
And done.
Okay.
Sorry, Lingy. I tried to extend it.
Good on him. All right.
So he's
happening.
Locked in.
Yeah, locked in. Cameron Ling and Tom going head to head next week.
If you just promise me something, that you're not going to rock up in like a Lycra Borat thing on the bike to put him off. I know what you're like.
I cannot promise.
Any excuse.
That I will not have to lead the peloton and have my bike right in front of his.
Oh, God. Why do I do this to myself? There's other jobs.
He can make eye contact with me the whole ride.
I
As I pucker up. Anyway, it's on. And I reckon we might try and get some people involved as well. But Hot Temple Revolutionary Infrared Heat Training is coming to Torquay. Thanks to those guys for having us next week.
The Tom, Lingy and Loggy Podcast. I saw this morning as I was perusing TikTok, because, hey, it's part of my job, so get off me back. I saw that apparently yawning is contagious to dogs. Now, we don't have a dog with us here in the studio, but this is something I need to know now. So why not get people involved?
Absolutely. You guys have dogs, probably with you right now.
Yeah. So can you yawn and get them to yawn on the radio?
Because
it's a Friday and we like to have a bit of fun. Let's go to Paige from Drysdale. Paige, are you with your dog at the moment?
No, I'm not, unfortunately.
Okay, thanks for calling. Sorry.
Paige has got a story.
Oh, okay, tell us.
Yeah, my dog, I can't make it yawn, but I can make it sneeze on cue.
How? Yeah,
Pepper.
I just go, okay, let's sneeze. And I go, achoo. And she goes, achoo. And then she makes me do it three times.
That's so cute.
What type of dog do you have?
I got a Maltese Shih Tzu.
Bless. Cute. Okay, well, I like that. Maybe try the yawn when you get home as well, Paige. If you can do the sneeze, I mean, that's kind of in same realm, isn't it?
Yeah, same wheelhouse, Danny's in Leopold. Morning, Danny.
Good morning.
Do you have your dog with you right now?
I do.
Okay.
Baxter, I believe.
His name's Baxter.
Baxter.
I've yawned at him three times and he just looks at me like I'm stupid.
Well, now, sorry to do that to you.
Does he?
I'd love to get inside his head and know exactly what he thinks of me sometimes.
Well, this is what I was going to ask you. Is that his vibe, his general vibe, or is that sort of an unusual sort of situation for him to be looking at you like
that? No, that was unusual.
Okay.
That was unusual.
I ask you this, Danny, though? You know how some people yawn and go, and there's no sound. Can you please put a bit of theatrics behind it? Right now, can you just go...
All right. Oh my god!
What are you doing?
He's bum's looking at me, and he's turned his head around. So I've got three dog eyes on me. I've got nothing. He's giving me nothing.
None of which are yawning.
Brilliant.
Tom, Lingy and Loggy. Why don't you get this podcast again sometime? And listen on air at KROQ 955 weekday mornings from 6.